Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. Pontius Pilate is a lovable villain in the Bible. On the one hand, he's the one who sends Jesus to his death, so we don't want to be anything like him. On the other hand, we are a lot like him. He symbolizes all of humanity, really, and how our sins keep us from recognizing or accepting Jesus. Tonight, I want to look at two of Pontius Pilate's statements and see how they reflect our own sinfulness, and also how they show us a way forward to letting Jesus into our lives. I'll begin with the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 4, where Pilate says, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." Pontius Pilate was the judge, the final judge. Pilate didn't think Jesus was guilty. So then why didn't Jesus get set free? Well, the truth is that Pilate wasn't so much a judge as a politician. And I'm not going to try to put down politicians tonight, because that would be too easy. But while judges are interested in the truth, politicians are more interested in people-pleasing. Pleasing people and the perception that people have of them. And so even though the truth was that Pontius Pilate didn't find anything wrong with Jesus, he wasn't guilty, Pilate wouldn't set him free because he was afraid of making everybody else angry at him. Has that ever happened to you? I know it certainly happened to me. Have you ever not told the whole truth because you were afraid of what people might think of you? Have you ever not shared what you believed, maybe about God, about Jesus, because you were afraid it might offend somebody? How many times do you think someone might have dealt with some negative consequences because you were more afraid of what people around you thought of what you were going to say or do than what the truth was? The Bible tells us to please God, not men, but that's easier said than done, and we get it mixed up all the time. We are a lot like Pontius Pilate in this regard. We worry more about what others think than about what God thinks. We worry more about what others think than about what we know the truth is. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died so that you might be freed from worrying about what other people think. Because when you see that Jesus died, it doesn't matter anymore what anybody else thinks. We confess the truth that we don't listen enough to God. We worry about other voices way too much. But God promises us peace and a new life when we seek his kingdom first. The second passage is from John chapter 19, verse 10. Pilate says, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Pontius Pilate did have power, at least as much power as any earthly person could have over Jesus. So again, if Pilate had the power, why wasn't Jesus set free? What was Pilate looking for Jesus to say or to do exactly? To beg not to be killed in order to stroke Pilate's ego? Or maybe to make a deal with Pilate so that Pilate would have more power over Jews and Jesus' followers, maybe? It's kind of hard to tell, but Jesus knows that Pilate's power is given by God alone. Earthly authorities are only instituted by God to encourage the good, to reward the good, and to punish evil. And Pilate is misusing his power. Just as the one who handed Jesus over to him, Caiaphas the high priest, also misused his power. Pilate didn't set Jesus free because Pilate was more afraid of feeling and looking weak instead of powerful like he thought he was. Just like Pilate, we sometimes get confused about power, what power looks like and what it's supposed to be used for. Power isn't meant to benefit us, but in order to serve and to help other people. Listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark. He says, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Have you ever decided not to do something because you didn't think it was fitting for someone of your stature, your position maybe? I've heard pastors tell me that they won't break down tables after a luncheon because they have better things to do than that. I hope they never actually told somebody else that. I'm pretty sure there are plenty of bosses who refuse to get their own coffee because they've got a secretary to do that. Sometimes adults don't want to help with kids' programs because it just seems like too childish a thing to do. All of these are examples of how we let the idea of what power is and what it's supposed to look like get in the way of what power is actually to do, which is to love and to serve other people. In God's kingdom, the powerful are given their positions because they are willing and able to help those less fortunate than them. But when we use our power only to serve ourselves, we are promised that pride comes before the fall. When Jesus tells the parable of the talents, he explains how those who serve well in the kingdom are blessed with even more responsibility, while those who do not serve well have everything taken away from them. Just like Pilate, we have to be careful that we don't get too big for our britches. To remember that if God gives us positions of authority, they are for the good of people in his kingdom, and not just to make ourselves look or feel better or more powerful. And God promises us peace and forgiveness when we remember that the best way to be a good leader is to be a good follower of God. Whether you are a parent, a teacher, someone's boss, or even a pastor, we always have to think of these things and try to serve God with the authority that we're given. When Jesus died on the cross, he showed us all that our scheming for a good reputation in the eyes of others, it doesn't matter at all. And he showed us that all of our striving for power, money, fame really amounts to nothing. Because looking at Jesus on the cross shows us the depth of our sin. Just like with Pilate, it is our desire for glory and power that ends up putting Jesus on the cross. Now, though we are humbled and forced to admit our sins, no amount of washing our hands will be able to justify us and our actions before God. We don't have anyone else to blame but ourselves. When Jesus told Pilate that the one who handed Jesus over to him was guilty of a greater sin, you understand that doesn't get Pilate off the hook. So even if you think I'm better than somebody else, that doesn't get you off the hook. Any sin is enough to condemn us. So tonight I pray that each one of you will admit to God that you don't judge rightly, and that you don't have as much power as you think you might have. We all need God to judge us, not the other way around. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to believe. When Jesus died on the cross, Pilate's hope for justification was thrown out the window. And Jesus' death on the cross puts us in the same position. We die to our hopes of saving ourselves. We're left at the foot of the cross. But when we humble ourselves and admit those sins before God, that hope, that promise of new life starts to ring in our ears. And we pray that we might find our lives rising up from the dead with the hope that Jesus will rise again. But tonight, before Easter, we are left waiting and remembering. Remembering what our sins did to Jesus that day, and praying that he too would remember us, and help us to remember that faith alone will be able to take us to live with him in paradise. Amen.